This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Airport issues are bad again today with more delays and cancellations. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is in Phoenix.
What you're seeing a lot is kind of what happened to me, where I got to the airport, the flight attendants got to the airport, then hours later the plane got there, and then a couple of hours later the pilots got there. Things are just kind of out of sync right now as day after day after day of weather disruption has really created a travel mess. The airlines are trying to reset today, and they better do it because starting tomorrow, travel volumes are expected to ramp way up for the 4th of July holiday weekend.
Smoke is also a problem from Canada's wildfires. Ann Elliott says she's struggling to breathe in Milwaukee.
I have asthma, and I was worried that, you know, it would affect my lungs, and it did a little bit when I was coughing.
And there's more brutal heat.
It just seems like it's getting hotter and hotter.
Mentally, it's exhausting. Physically, you wonder when you're going to have this heat stroke.
Cooling centers have been opened in many areas. Tens of thousands are suffering through the heat without air conditioning as widespread power outages continue after severe storms in recent days. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Out in California, hundreds of animals are now washing up on beaches, dead or sick from toxic algae blooms. John Warner runs the Marine Mammal Care Center in L.A.
Sea lions are washing up at Santa Monica Pier, Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach, and they're seizing, foaming at the mouth, or completely unresponsive and is frightening.
The algae is also deadly to humans. The White House says President Biden is struggling with sleep apnea and now uses a CPAP machine to help him breathe at night. Sleep apnea can be deadly and cause serious complications, including stroke. But Mr. Biden seems okay for now. He's in Chicago talking about his economic plans.
It's the latest rebranding of the president's economic policies.
I said, I didn't name it Bidenomics. I didn't realize the Economist and the Wall Street Journal did.
The phrase has been adopted by the White House and described by Biden aides as the antithesis of Reaganomics.
This vision is a fundamental break from the economic theory that has failed America's middle class for decades now.
Mr. Biden says he'll reject tax policies that favor the wealthy.
I'm tired of waiting for the trickle down. It doesn't come very quickly.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
You know, kids that are bookworms tend to have better mental health? Here's CBS's Christian Benavides.
Researchers looked at 10,000 kids in the U.S. Those who begin reading for pleasure between 2 and 9 years old measure higher for verbal learning, memory, and other skills, and show fewer signs of depression and behavioral problems.
Kids who read also tend to spend less time on screens and get better sleep. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson and Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. It's the worst air quality in over a decade, according to the DNR. An air quality advisory is in effect through noon tomorrow due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The air is currently unhealthy for everyone in most of the state, and when the air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. It's been rare this summer, but there is a chance of severe weather today here in western Wisconsin. Storms are expected to start from the north and west this afternoon and move mostly east throughout the evening and overnight, with the main risks being hail and high winds. And last night, the Eau Claire City Council voted unanimously to replace the Dewey Street Bridge, which is nearly a century old. The project would come with a $14.2 million price tag. The old bridge will be used until 2026. Additionally, the city plans on creating a TIF district in the old Shopko Plaza area in an effort to spur business development on the southwest side of the city. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today. 855-954-1186.
All in Tubin, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. In roller derby, it's not a game, it's a bout. And each jam is filled with insane drive blocks and rushing soul crushes that rip shivers through your toe stocks. Pace line, pivot line, jam a grand slam. Whip a scoring pass or you're down with rink rash. Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. And every Wisconsin roller derby girl knows to be insanely good on the flat track, you can't be insanely drunk. And if you can't be drunk on those wheels, you'd be super insane to roll drunk on your car's wheels. So take it from Wisconsin's best jammers, blockers, and pivots. When it comes to driving,
drive sober on the road,
no matter how many wheels you roll.
Because you can't lap the pack with an OWI riding your back. So ladies and guys, drive sober or get pulled over. And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Download the free Drive Sober app with a Find a Ride feature, awesome videos, and more at WITrafficSafety.org.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at SoundItOutTogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of things to talk about, but I'll tell you what, Donald Trump has cheapened himself to agree, I didn't even think possible. He has sued Jean Carroll, woman he assaulted, that he abused. He has sued her for defamation. Here is, now remember something. Already that was resolved in a lawsuit. He had to pay $5 million to her. Remember that? Not too long ago. Verdict came down that that he had sexually abused her. She was telling the truth. He was not. $5 million. He immediately, virtually the next day, went on CNN in a town hall, and he tore into her again. Said that she wasn't telling the truth. She's not his type. This was a scam. She went again. He repeated the same things that had produced a $5 million verdict against him just days before. Jean Carroll's lawyer looked at it and sued him again. He's repeating what he said before that was found to have damaged her to the tune of $5 million. In that new lawsuit, he has counterclaimed for defamation against her for accusing him of rape. Now, I want to boil this down because at the bottom of all this, in the law part of it, you may find interesting, you may not. But at the bottom of all this, we're talking about a guy who's running for president. I mean, is the bar that low? Is the bar that low? The guy on Access Hollywood tapes back in 2016, just before the election, said that he had a habit of grabbing women between the legs. A number of them have complained. One of them was a woman on an airplane, stranger. They got to talking. He reaches over the armrest, puts his hand up her skirt. He wasn't arrested. Maybe she didn't complain right at the time. I don't know. Maybe she was mortified. But here, let me boil this down. Defamation, the word defamation in the law, and people who are not lawyers will say things like defamation of character and all that. Defamation is an umbrella tort, T-O-R-T. Umbrella tort. A tort is an injury that is not contractual. In other words, somebody breaches a contract with you, you're injured, but it's not a tort. But if they hit you with their car or punch you or lie about you and it defames you, that is a tort and you can get damages. Defamation, is defined as something that is said about you that is A, untrue, and B, tends to lower you in the esteem of the community. So if you say somebody is a criminal, that lowers, and it's false, that lowers them in the esteem of the community. If you say that they're a, at least not too long ago, a communist, the same thing, a Nazi, the same thing, lowers them in the esteem of the community. Defamation has two prongs under it. One is libel and one is slander. People use defamation, defamation of character, libel, slander, all over the place. Defamation is the umbrella tort. Libel and slander are the prongs that come down. Libel is written defamation. Slander is verbal defamation, with one exception. If you are defamed in a newspaper, that's libel. Also, if you're defamed on television or on the radio, that's libel, even though it was verbal, because there's such a wide circulation of it. Slander would be simply verbal, somebody lying about you, and that can produce slander. Now, what's the difference? As a practical matter, not a lot of difference. There are some proof issues and damages issues, but without going into that, Trump said on television that Jean Carroll was lying, and that Jean Carroll, you know, was not his type. This is all a scam and all of this. She said, before the first trial and now, that he raped her. He is suing because what he's essentially saying is, I didn't rape her, I sexually abused her, and that's why I had to pay $5 million, but it's not technically rape. What he is doing, and again, I've got to pose the core question. The guy's running for president. I mean, without getting in the weeds on all this stuff, why are almost half the Republicans in a primary going, I'm going to vote for this guy? Does this bother you? I mean, is the bar that low? You can't find somebody? Look, this is very similar to, say, Al Capone. You accuse him of murdering somebody, and he says, I didn't murder him. I was just convicted of second-degree intentional homicide. So you defame me. Al Capone had no reputation to defame. At some point, there's a concept in the law that you're basically libel proof because everybody has such a low opinion of you, it couldn't be lowered much more. Trump is in that category, quite frankly. Now, when people throw around words who are not lawyers, they'll go defamation of character, slander, libel, and all this stuff. Frequently, they'll say murder or murder one. They got him for murder, murder one. A lot of statutes don't use that terminology anymore. They call it first-degree intentional homicide. First-degree intentional homicide is what you think of as murder. You decide you're going to kill a guy, and you go kill him. Second-degree intentional homicide is slightly below it. And so, for instance, in a jurisdiction as the death penalty for, quote, murder, end quote, first-degree intentional homicide does it, second-degree. What's an example of second-degree intentional homicide? You drive your car into a crowd to kill people. You know you're going to kill somebody, but you didn't pick them out in advance that morning. Sometimes prosecutor will go, well, I'm not going to go against you for first degree. I get second degree. You'll still get life, but and that's the way it goes. Here are the facts. Here is what Trump is doing. He's trying to humiliate her again, trying to attack her again, trying to take revenge for the $5 million verdict against him. In the old days, rape, the definition, was if you forcibly, without the consent of a woman, sexually insert anything into her vagina, your penis, your finger, anything, that's rape. In this particular case, apparently what happened, the testimony at the trial was, they're up at Bergdorf Goodman on some floor, and they go into a dressing room, or she goes in, he goes after her, throws her up against the wall, pulls her skirt up, puts his hand in her pants, and inserts his fingers into her vagina. Now, in any jurisdiction, any normal jury, you look on that, you say, yeah, that is rape. this jury, by saying that, no, it wasn't rape, it was sexual abuse, is essentially saying he went into the dressing room, threw her up against the wall, pulled up her skirt, put his hand down her pants, put his fingers in her vagina, but he didn't put his penis in her vagina, so therefore it's not rape, but it's sexual abuse. But we'll still give him $5 million. That, in a nutshell, is what happened. Is the jury right about it's not being rape? I do not think so. Was there a juror on there who was a Trumper and thought, well, I got to throw the guy a bone? I don't know. I've tried a number of jury trials. The damnedest things that they say. You can debrief a jury with the leave of the court in Wisconsin. You can't in some other states. But in Wisconsin, you can say, Your Honor, with leave of the court, I would like to quiz the jury about how they came to their verdict. And I've done that a number of times. They all come out and you say, how did you do this? How did you do that? And they'll go, well, you know, we were deadlocked on this and that. And one guy goes, well, you know, maybe if we do this and maybe lower it to that, that's the way it works. First of all, Trump thinks he's running for president. You do not go on CNN in a so-called town hall and attack and demean and diminish a woman whom you sexually abused, had to pay $5 million to, essentially destroyed her life. Because if you listen to some of that testimony, it was very sad what happened to her after that. And then say it again. And then when her lawyer says, all right, we're going to sue you again, you go, I'm going to counterclaim against you because this jury didn't say it was rape, it was sexual abuse. And yes, they gave $5 million. This is Al Capone. You say Al Capone committed murder. And he goes, no, it was only second degree intentional homicide. Give me some money. That is the nerve of this guy. But the core question, and I'm going to revisit it right now, is the guy's running for president. I mean, is the bar that low? Is the bar that low? Now, what's going to happen to this thing? If I were a judge, I would throw his counterclaim out on a motion to dismiss. I'd say, look, it's been established already in a contested hearing, in a trial, you have to pay her $5 million for sexually abusing her. Whether she's not a lawyer, whether a layman calls that rape, whether layman calls second degree intentional homicide murder or not is irrelevant. There is a doctrine in the law, in defamation law, that says this. Truth is a defense, and that means substantial truth. What does that mean? It means not every detail has to be true. If you say, he punched me and he's wearing a red shirt and it turns out he's wearing a green shirt, that's not material. What you said is substantially true. Even if you said he had a red shirt on and punched me, because the issue is the punch. In this case, it is substantially true to say that Trump raped her. He penetrated her vagina with his hand, with his fingers, against her will, destroyed her life, and he has to pay $5 million. Whether a non-lawyer calls that rape or not is irrelevant. I call it rape, and that would have been called rape in common law. Anyway, we're going to a break. This guy's running for president. He has no business running for president. And the Republican Party, any of you who are listening to me out there, do you have no even basic decency to pick a guy that doesn't do this kind of stuff? Is that too much to ask? Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after. You can run on God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and hazy with pop-up storms through the afternoon and a high in the low 80s. Some storms this evening, mostly cloudy and mid-60s overnight. Hazy sun, maybe a storm tomorrow, high 85. Partly sunny for Friday, maybe a stray storm, temps in the mid-80s for a high. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to Met Flynn Rick. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the line, Stephanie of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Stephanie. What's on your mind today?
Oh, thank you, Matt. Thank you for making everything so clear. I was really debating about calling, but that guy is beyond. He is just so evil, and it's so sick. It's just unbelievable. He's just brutal. He's vicious. And as a woman and as a survivor, I know it seemed like for a while, even they got away from using the word rape and would use the word sexual assault, even if it was like, you know, forced intercourse or putting fingers in a woman's vagina. You know, there's lots of other things that can happen. But it's just, Mr. Oh, I grabbed him by the, oh, my God. That's all I've got to say. And thank you for saying, where is the decency? Also, if you want to address this, fine. If you don't, I don't want to, what kind of effect, and RFK Jr. is running for president. What kind of effect do you think that might have? And I'm thanking you, Matt. I'm going to hang up, okay?
Thank you very much, Stephanie. No, thank you. Very poignant call. And yeah, I will talk quickly about RFK and then go on to the next caller. But there is a fundamental question here. It's not ideological. It's in the Republican Party, how low is the bar? Can't you come up with a guy who doesn't act like this? This isn't an isolated incident. Access Hollywood, he goes, I, if you're famous, you can grab him by the P and they let you do it. He'll go up to somebody and suddenly just grab him between the legs. Come on, we can do better than that for President of the United States. When it comes to RFK, and I want to give you my background, I am a huge fan of the Kennedy family. When I was in college, Bobby was running in 1968. I was in Connecticut in college, and Abe Ribicoff in the Senate was running for re-election. A bunch of us went out and did doors for Abe Ribicoff, and we talked up Bobby Kennedy. And then sadly, he was murdered in June 1968 in San Francisco. When Ted Kennedy ran for president, I was his Milwaukee County chairman. When Ted Kennedy came here, I had him in for the Jefferson Jackson Day dinner when I was the party chairman in the early 80s. I have a number of pictures with him at various conventions. My wife and I would go up to his suite. His sisters were there. I think the world of the Kennedys. I think Jack Kennedy was one of the great presidents of the 20th century. But this guy, Robert Kennedy Jr., is not like his dad. He's not like the other Kennedys. And I'm going to say two things. I'm not just talking about this anti-vaccine stuff and all this anti, you know, being inoculated and all this. When Sirhan Sirhan came up for parole, the guy that murdered his father, RFK, Sirhan Sirhan got the death sentence and he should have been executed. But in the early 70s, they finally commuted it to life. He put in for parole many years in a row, and he was derisive. Sometimes he said he was glad to do it. Some years he said he'd do it again. Some years he said he didn't do it. Some years he said he doesn't remember doing it. A super left-wing parole board out there recommended him from parole about a year ago. And the only safeguard was the governor had to sign off on it. And everybody wrote in, and Bobby Kennedy Jr. wrote in to say he hopes Sirhan Sirhan got parole, and he's the guy that murdered his own father. I can't, you know, look, in a Greek tragedy, you see stuff like that. A man who won't stick by his own assassinated father, I will have nothing to do with. Secondly, on another policy issue, he said a week ago, RFK Jr., I don't know what it is with the guy. He said that he thought that Vladimir Putin and Russia were acting in good faith in the Ukraine invasion. The Ukraine invasion is a genocide perpetrated by sadists. And he took the point of view of Vladimir Putin and Russia. I can't stand the guy. I will not vote for him. I strongly recommend that nobody out there vote for him. Squeezing a few more calls. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Gene.
Your show and the callers that call in. Stephanie does a really great job. You know, dare we hope, you know, that people rise above this evil and attend responsibly, you know, for our children. You know, the children of America deserve better. The attacks on females and women and the way that Trump disparaged women, you know, anybody that interviewed him, you know, the blood coming out of her eyes. You could see the blood coming out of her eyes. I mean, he's just gross. He's sleazy. And these people, these religious right, I don't know who they're praying to, because that's not Sunday school classes I taught, for heaven's sakes. This is gross. This is not America. This is not what we want our children growing up to. I cannot believe that people are closing their eyes, are so filled with hate and frustration that they got to take it out on somebody, but don't take it out on our kids. Because, and the kids and the young people deserve better, and we need to fight for them. And Joe Biden, I'm so proud of that guy. And, you know, I'll tell you something. You know, people go after his age, but that guy's got more on the ball than most people that I know, and he's working nonstop. And you know what? He doesn't write tracks of storms. Remember when Trump wouldn't allow the weathermen to give the track of, I think it was a hurricane, and he drew where that thing was supposed to go? I mean, this guy wanted parades for himself. That was his big deal. He wanted parades. Everything was about him. Wake up, folks. This guy is mentally ill.
Yeah, thank you very much, Gene. I love your passion. I have to go to a break, but I'll be back right after the break. 844-967-2789. Do not hang up, everybody. Great call. Thank you. Back after the break.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Severe weather is affecting thousands more flights. CBS's Elaine Quijano's in Newark.
Behind me is a line of United passengers who are trying to rebook their flights. Some of them have been in line today for a few hours. Others have been trying to get back to their destinations since Sunday.
Brutal heat and humidity are high in Texas and across the Mid-South today. Dwight Everett says he's having a hard time staying cool in Memphis.
It's hot outside. I mean, I get to have some kind of ventilation in the house. I can run a couple fans, you know, tough it out.
But he's lucky. Tens of thousands of people don't have power there right now. And President Biden is talking about his economic plans in Chicago.
Bidenomics, we're turning this around. We're supporting targeted investments. We're strengthening America's economic security, our national security, our energy security, and our climate security.
He said yesterday he's confident we won't have a recession. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Well, it's a slight chance, but it's been rare this summer to have any chance of severe weather, and we've got that here in western Wisconsin this afternoon. Storms are expected to start from the north and west this afternoon and then move mostly east throughout the evening and overnight, with the main risks being hail and high winds. The DNR says the air quality in Wisconsin is the worst it's been in over a decade. An air quality advisory is in effect through noon tomorrow due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The air is currently unhealthy for everyone in most of the state, and when the air quality gets this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. The city of Eau Claire is planning on creating a TIF district in the old Shopko Plaza. It's an effort to spur development on the southwest side of the city. Also, the Eau Claire City Council voted unanimously to replace the Dewey Street Bridge downtown, which is nearly a century old. The project would come with a $14.2 million price tag. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people. But there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000
pies. 150,000
pies
and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoick likes to brag about.
Our horn I like to toot. We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's it.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we're going right to the lines. In order, do not hang up. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind. Hey, Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, it seems to me that Trump is actually admitting to sexual assault and all, but he's been trying to split hairs, say, well, I didn't do this, but I did do that. Well, I mean, then he's, you know, that anybody who's supporting Donald Trump at this point in time, why are they still doing it? You know, this guy's actually admitted to being... You know, committing sexual, well, he's admitted to committing sexual assault as a matter of course anyway in the past, but I mean that it just is how, if you are any kind of decency at all, you're still supporting this man. I mean, I can't quite wrap my head around that whole concept right there. That if you claim to have any values at all, that how can you still be supporting Donald Trump? It is just I'm having a tough time wrapping my head around that.
Right. Well, Mark, not only that, remember, let me tell you something tactical about this new trial. And he didn't show up at the last trial, remember, because he knew very well if he went on the stand and he's under oath, he's got to at least say, yeah, I threw up against the wall, lifted up her skirt and put my hand down between her legs. Because on Access Hollywood, he said it did it many times. So he doesn't show up. You know what I'd do if I were the judge at this one? I'd order him to show up. And a judge has a lot of power. I'd order him to show up. I'd say, no, you're not going to sit on the sidelines somewhere taking shots at the judge and taking shots at the other lawyers and expect me to put up with this. You show up or I'm going to direct a verdict in her favor for $10 million, which a judge can do that, by the way. Number one. Number two, he's desperately afraid to get on the stand because the jury has already found that he sexually, quote, abused her, which I think is, I mean, he raped her is what he did, but, and it's $5 million. So you put him on the stand in the new trial and you go, did you sexually abuse her? If he says no, he has a verdict by a unanimous jury, including some who are Trump supporters, that he did sexually abuse her. At least that. The hair splitting he's going through is, well, it's not technically rape. Well, let me tell you something. Not everybody's a lawyer. Anybody in their right mind, if Al Capone kills somebody, they're going to say it's murder. And anybody in their right mind saying if Trump did this, it was rape. That is a vernacular expression that's not used in statutes nowadays. So there you go. Very good call. Stay on the line. I'm going to get you all. Joe of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Joe?
With your permission, Matt, I'd like to just return to one subject that you were discussing yesterday that had to do with the appearance, apparently, before the grand jury of some 5 to 6 Secret Service agents in reference to the January 6th attempted coup. And the issue, as I recall it, is the concern that some of these people, there were thousands, apparently, of internal documents described as text or some sorts of emails that are just missing from January 5 and January 6. And I understand the Secret Service described it as, quote, a device replacement program. Others are arguing that it was a violation of federal records keeping law. My question for you is, as a lawyer, you look at the fact that there are two things here. First off, they're just 5 to 6 agents who apparently are being looked at. If this were honestly a device replacement program, wouldn't that be something that would happen with more than just 5 or 6 agents? Or if it had to do with a routine, cleansing of documents, why wouldn't you have it from January 1 on? Why would it just be those 2 days? So I guess as a lawyer, I'm asking you to say, if you looked at this and you saw this, how would you proceed in terms of building your case or looking at this or research on this? It just seems so odd to me that it's just a certain number of Secret Service agents and on just the numbers of January 5 and January 6. I'd love your response to this if you feel like it, Matt.
Yeah, right.
You.
Yeah, Joe, excellent question. Yeah, here's the thing. Say you're on a jury. And you're not a lawyer, but you're supposed to use your common sense. And these guys come in, some of them, they go, you say, well, why don't you have any texts or any messages, any emails at all for January 5 and 6? You have them for January 4 and 3 and 2 and 1, and you have them for January 7, 8, 9, and 10, and up to the present. Why those two? Their response has been, it's simply a standard destruction policy. You know, there's a lot of companies, one that I work for, that after 60 or 90 days, they just erase emails. But they don't erase the 2 days that are most at issue. So anybody with common sense is going to look at this thing and realize there's something funny going on. I think what Jack Smith is trying to do is to find one of them who will break. One of them, because remember, they're being summoned in front of a grand jury under oath. If they lie, that's a felony. It's not a misdemeanor. It's a felony. They can go to prison if they lie. If they hire a lawyer and take the fifth, they can do that. But in a civil case, that can be used against them. And in a criminal case, it can be used against them in their employment. You take the fifth, are you kidding me? And the FBI or the CIA? Toast, you're toast. So I think what they're hoping for is somebody who will say something along these lines. I was surprised at that too. They remotely erased everything for those 2 days. They told us it was a standard destruction policy. Sir, did you buy that? Well, not really. I mean, why just 2 days? What went on was there were people in the Secret Service detail who were loyal to Trump. And that is the reason why when Joe Biden came in, they were going to reassign him this detail. He says, I'm not getting guarded by those guys. I'm not getting guarded by those guys. And he used the detail that guarded him as vice president. Thank God. But they were the ones who said to Pence, here, get in the car. We fear for your safety. They were going to drive him up into the Maryland woods, you know, Camp David or somewhere. So he could not be there for the ceremonial opening of the certifications. And then they would bootstrap and go, well, there are conflicting electors in six states, the fake ones and the others. Who knows? Who's to say what's fake or not? Let Congress decide. Oh, by the way, each state only gets one vote. And there are more than half of the states that have Republican majorities in the Congress for their state. At the time, there were more Democrats overall because of California and New York, but California and New York each only got one vote for them. That was the sneaky deal. So you're right on the money, Joe. What happened was this, that these agents, he's brought in people whom other witnesses have said, Jack Smith has been told, knew about it. Maybe some were in on it. Maybe they take the fifth. But if even one of them breaks, that's just a major, major insight in this case. Thanks for calling, Joe. Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. First point, I've been saying right from the beginning, all I wanted out of any of these investigations was an indictment. He has been indicted twice. He has been found guilty once. And as I've said before, all there needs to be is one mega on the jury, and that's the end of it. My second point is he does everything for money, for himself. And I believe he has a history of dropping lawsuits. And I guess if we follow the money, once he's made a certain dollar amount, before it goes to he will drop this lawsuit against E. Jean Carroll. And my third and last point is, unless they cheat, there is no way he can win an election against Joe Biden. He doesn't have the numbers. He didn't have the numbers last time. He killed like a billion people in this country with COVID. Those were mostly his voters, and there are a lot of people, especially ladies in the suburbs, who are not going to vote for him ever again. He cannot win unless he cheats. So I guess I'm not worried about his reelection, but him getting away with everything, yeah, because there are a bunch of MAGAs waiting to get on those juries. Thanks, Matt. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Yeah, and I share your enthusiasm and your optimism somewhat, but I want to hedge it for a couple of reasons. The Republican Party is doing their best to make it more difficult to vote and to suppress the vote in a number of states. The obvious ones are Florida and Texas. They'll pass laws that criminalize certain things. In Texas, if you're a poll worker, You know how honest poll workers are. They tend to be elderly ladies and gentlemen. This is sort of a social thing. They go, they're scrupulously honest. Well, in Texas, they permit essentially thugs, people to come in and stand over them and look at people who are voting. They can glare at them and scare the hell out of them. And they stand there. If you get up and obstruct the line of sight between the thug and a voter, that's a crime now in Texas. Now, will they prosecute it? They're not going to prosecute it in most areas. Would they prosecute it in Houston in any minority area? They'll pick one or two out to do it. Will a judge uphold that statute? Maybe not. How many people do you think really want to have to hire a lawyer or have any anxiety at all about whether they've committed a crime? What's happening in Florida and Texas is that the incidence of minority voting, especially Latino voting, Black voting, and American Indian voting, has gone down by about 4%. You're starting to see some of that in Georgia. That's all they want. They want people, see, if you go into a voting booth, or I go into a voting booth on the east side of Milwaukee, I'm not worried I'm going to get in trouble. Nobody's going to screw around me, and if they do, I know what to do. But if you're somebody who is of limited economic circumstances, who all your life has been subject to disparate treatment because of your race, whom nobody smiles when you walk in the room, you're subject to insult, and you're in line, and you see some, and sometimes they're off-duty cops in some of these states, and they carry their weapons, and they'll just stand there. Let's say you have a misdemeanor on your record. Let's say you shoplifted something. You can still vote. It's not a felony. Misdemeanants can vote. But the Republican Party for a while would have people go down the voting lines until there were injunctions against it, saying, if anybody here has committed a crime, they can't vote, and it's a crime to vote. And people leave the line. Well, what I just said that they said was a lie. It's not people who committed a crime. It's people who committed a felony, and they have not yet served out their time on probation or otherwise, or parole or otherwise. This stuff goes on. And you may think, well, that wouldn't deter me. No, and it wouldn't deter you. No. But people who are in populations that have frankly been badly treated, that deters just enough. Listen, a lot of people vote anyway. God bless them, and they are very brave. But that what's going on is a concerted effort in the Republican Party to deter voting. This fellow, remember in the Republican Party, the fellow who came out in Milwaukee, and he said, he was a chairman, and he said, you know, we've got to congratulate ourselves. We kept down Black and Latino voting. That came out. And what? Nobody cares? I care. Do you care? I mean, I know you care. But who talks about it? Who talks about it now? This is a concerted effort. You must understand that. And it's a combination in Georgia. You can't give anybody a value in standing in the voting line. These voting lines frequently are 6 hours long because a machine will break down, especially in a minority area, and they don't bother to replace it or whatever. You can't give water to somebody in line without committing a crime in Georgia. Water. Suppose you have a pregnant woman in line, 7 months pregnant. She's feeling faint. What can you do? You can't give her food. You can't give her water. Are you kidding me? If she faints, then the ambulance comes and takes her away. The Republican Party is doing this to injure people who are trying to vote. You must understand that. So when you say, I'm optimistic about Trump against Biden, sure. But in six states, and Wisconsin's one of them, and they're doing everything they can to attack the veracity of the vote in Wisconsin, we have to be eternally vigilant. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The ring of fire, the ring of fire, and it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday, or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and hazy with pop-up storms through the afternoon and a high in the low 80s. Some storms this evening, mostly cloudy and mid-60s overnight. Hazy sun, maybe a storm tomorrow, high 85. Partly sunny for Friday, maybe a stray storm, temps in the mid-80s for a high. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that
welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right back to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Monday, Wisco Paul.
Good afternoon, Matt. Great show today. Lots of great callers. Joe made a good point. You know, January 6th was a concerted effort to keep Trump as president. And there's so many facets involved in this, everything from Supreme Courts to politicians to business people. It's hard to believe they could infiltrate the Secret Service, and maybe who knows what. But it was a concerted effort to do it, and I hope Jack Smith somehow gets to the bottom of this before the next election comes up. But I want to bring up a topic about the state of Wisconsin. I cannot understand the GOP here, Matt. Tax cuts for the wealthy again, because the bottom people are not going to get anything. I don't know what Tony's going to do about this. And the other thing is education. The education system we have in this state, in this state, from vocational schools or junior colleges or whatever they you want to call them, they want to cut the funding to that, satellite universities. And the big thing is the engineering department down at the University of Wisconsin. Why does the GOP hate education so much? And why are they skewing everything for the wealthy and the tax cuts? And it's ridiculous. I don't know what Tony can do, but I would not sign this budget. So that's my rant for the day, and thanks for your show and Civic Media. Like Jeannie says, you guys are wonderful.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I want to hit in this segment the idea of education and give you some facts that you might not be aware of. Some you will be. The Republican Party, Voss is the spokesman for it, cut funding by $32 million for UW-Madison. It's going to cost 200 jobs. We have a $7 billion surplus, $7 billion. They want to use that cut to eliminate all diversity offices and all programming on campus. Now, here's the deal. As much as we'd like to think that we're an open and liberal state, the truth of the matter is that minority students at Madison, and I'm a graduate of Madison, the law school, so it's a wonderful university. But it's not always easy going. And there has to be some programming and some support services over there for kids who are first generation college kids who are coming from very tough backgrounds. And it's just humane. Evers has said he won't sign that. Here's the law. If Evers doesn't sign the budget and there is no budget, automatically we go back to the last budget. But the problem with that is, because of inflation, that represents a de facto cut. I'm going to give you some facts. 10 of UW System's 13 campuses are going to face a combined $60 million deficit by the summer of 2024. That's a year from now, okay? The University of Wisconsin system is among the worst funded in the nation because of the Republican Party. The $32 million they're going to cut, Voss has said, that can be forgiven and not cut if they convince the Republicans in the legislature that they are going to be teaching workforce initiatives. Remember that Scott Walker wanted to change the Wisconsin idea. The Wisconsin idea, going back to fighting Bob La Follette, was that the boundaries of the University of Wisconsin are the boundaries of the state. Everywhere in the state, agricultural programs, every kind of program, nuclear engineering, everything else. He wanted to get rid of that goal and just make it a workshop, basically, for Wisconsin business. Absolutely no sense of intellectual integrity or knowledge by this people. The Republican Party in this state who support this are voting themselves into medieval peasantry. Evers had proposed a $305 million increase for UW. They eliminated anything that he asked for and cut it. Now, let me go on to a couple of other things. They refused. The number one priority in the state from the regents was a new engineering school for Madison. Madison is one of the best faculties in the country. UWM, by the way, I'm on the board of visitors of UWM, also has a terrific, terrific faculty. It's an R1 research institution. It's one of the top 130 universities in the country. And whether you go to Madison or UWM or any of the other fine campuses, you're getting a top-notch education. You know what they also cut out from what Evers wanted? Evers had wanted, and what we had, was if your family makes less than $62,000 a year, you didn't have to pay any tuition. They got rid of that. In Minnesota, if your family makes less than $80,000 in income, salary, you get free tuition. Here, they eliminated even for less than $62,000. You know what the Republicans said? This only cost $13.8 million last year. This would be another $13.8 million. Here's the Republican position on that. You're not going to believe it. Quote, we think that people making less than $62,000 should have free tuition, but each campus should hold fundraisers, bake sales, lotteries, sort of like a church picnic type thing. That is so disgusting. So what? La Crosse, Eau Claire, Oshkosh, Milwaukee, Madison, Whitewater, what? Superior? They should all hold fundraisers. What do you mean? What kind of fundraisers? How much money do you think is raised at church fundraisers? Not very much. Not enough to pay tuition. These people in the Republican Party, and this really frosted me. You know who Grace Stanek is? Grace Stanek is Miss America. Beautiful young lady from the Wausau area studying nuclear engineering in Madison. The Republican Party on June 14th passed Assembly Joint Resolution 58, commending her and boasting about how the fact that she's beautiful and Miss America and is studying nuclear engineering at Madison, where they're not giving them an engineering school. They say this stuff. They go around campaigning on this stuff. They'll go to a Sponfarkle somewhere on Labor Day, and they'll go, we are for engineering. Grace Stanek is a nuclear engineer. Well, by the way, we're going to stick a knife in the University of Wisconsin and not give them an engineering school. I am so tired of this, I can't begin to tell you. Their mantra is competency over degrees. Glenn Grothman was on a committee in the Congress where they are proposing that. They don't want higher education. Universities go back to Plato's Academy in Athens, back 2,300 years. We have one of the best university systems in the world, and they are knifing it. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Matt Flynn Direct. We're back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changing.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.